From the after-hours super-secret home base turned into a pillow fort, now including our girl Flower. If you haven't seen her photo, well, she's a looker, that's for sure, and she's not exactly sure what to do. I'm guessing, though I don't know her full history, this is her first time being part of a sports radio show, and I just ate a couple of pieces of leftover ham during the break at the top. My mom made a terrific ham on Sunday, and it's been, gosh, almost 12 hours now since we had dinner because they wanted to eat a little earlier on Sunday. And so I was eating a little bit of leftover ham during the break, and Flower was sleeping until she smelled the ham. And now she's sitting up next to me, though there'll be no ham for Flower. I'm still trying to get used to everything about her, establish a routine, what she means when she talks to me, and how often she needs to go out. She loves being outside, loves going on walks. And I can imagine after 3 months at a shelter where she spent the vast majority of her time in a cage, sadly, that's how they have to do it with so many dogs on hand, that she, of course, loves the freedom of being outside. We're working on the leash walking. It's not terrible. Needs a little bit of help, a little bit of practice, but not terrible. So we'll see what happens moving forward with the radio show. But at least for a couple of nights, she'll be my co-pilot alongside, because I've got not just the rest of this show, so 2 more hours to go until we launch you forward into your Monday morning, but also we'll be back on Monday night into Tuesday morning, and then again on New Year's night. So that's my last show before we take off and drive back from Houston to the New York City area with 2 dogs, 2 people, and Princess Leia stacked with stuff that we're taking back with us to New Jersey. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So many of you reaching out. It's good to hear from you over the holidays. I know a lot of people missed the show over the holidays, but there's other people who are hearing the show for the first time in a long time or catching up with us for the first time in a long time. It's a great time to jump in as we wrap up 1 year and move forward into what is week 18. Does have some major implications, specifically the NFC North title and that top seed in the conference. We know the Chiefs already have that. They've got best record in the NFL. We know the Bills, too, have locked up the 2 seed. And with the AFC East title and that dominance there, they've got bigger goals now, finally being able to break through and get back to a Super Bowl. So we'll talk about them in the AFC East momentarily. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Already gone through Commanders and Falcons from Sunday night. What a terrific show with the 2 rookie quarterbacks, but also just the drama of the way that the Commanders continually seem to come back. This wasn't a Hail Mary, but it was a different kind of walk-off win. Packers and Vikings, as Minnesota is still alive for that number 1 seed and the division title. We've had some storylines, some headlines that go the other way as well. I mean, even with Saturday's games, the Bengals edging the Broncos. So Cincinnati, can you imagine the number of questions? What if we had not lost to the Patriots in the first game of the season, 16-10, and knocked half of the people in the world out of their survivor pools, including me, including producer Pete? But the Bengals still technically kicking some butt where they can and taking names and trying to stay alive for the playoffs. They've won 4 consecutive games. So the last wild card in the AFC comes down to Denver, Cincinnati, or Miami. Right now, you've got all 3 of those teams. They're still alive. Technically, the Broncos at 9-7 were controlling their own fate, right? Because they've had a couple of situations here, back-to-back weeks, where they could win and get in, like the Chargers. They haven't taken care of business. They've dropped 2 games in a row. The way the Bengals were able to come back on Saturday, of course, speaks to the experience and the people around Joe Burrow. But that offense can be so good, as the defense has been a mess this year. Again, you kind of wonder what if with Cincinnati, if they don't make the playoffs. The Dolphins, too, they've won back-to-back games. Remember where they were earlier in the season in losing Tua the concussion protocol, how bad it looked. And I know at this point, still dealing with a bunch of injuries too, according to Mike McDaniel, they don't know if Tua will play in week 18. So that kind of changes things too. And so right now, it's one thing or another for the Dolphins. So for them to even be in this position where they're back to 500 and alive heading into the final week of the regular season is humongous. And I just think with the ways that the NFL season plays out in such surprising fashion, the ebbs and flows, you cannot beat this kind of drama. And it's, I don't want to say it's bite-sized because the season goes on for a long time. And we started this puppy in September. And then before that, you know, the preseason, the training camp run, the NFL is never out of the conversation in the sports world. But the fact that it's, I say only in air quotations, because I'm sure the players wouldn't say only, but the fact that it's only 18 weeks means we can keep up the way that we can. Every single week ties to the next one and forms kind of this tapestry. And every season is unique. Half the playoff field turns over from year to year. And we're seeing that again this season, though not with staples like the Buffalo Bills. Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. They desperately want to get back to the Super Bowl. It's been such a long time. They've never won. Just for a second, can you imagine if it was Vikings and Bills or Lions and Bills in the Super Bowl? I know the Chiefs will have a lot to say about that, as will the rest of the AFC. The Chiefs are the toughest out in sports, though, not just football, but toughest out in sports. And the Bills will have likely to go through them, and maybe, well, if they go through them, they'll have to go through Arrowhead. Could you imagine? 13 seconds. Remember, 13 seconds left. That was all the time that was left in the fourth quarter, 13 seconds. The Bills are playing terrific football right now, though. We knew that they'd won the AFC East crown. Gosh, that goes back to early December. But had these three games against the Patriots, the Jets, and the Patriots to try at the time to push the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Chiefs have already locked up the one seed, but the two is pretty damn valuable. And against the Jets on Sunday, I mean, this was Josh Allen toying with the rival.
Allen under center here, and now Gilliam in motion, gets behind Allen, and it's the tush push over the left side, and Allen is in for the touchdown. Second and 14, seven on the play clock as they were late to break the huddle. Pistol look, Allen takes the snap, back to pass, pocket collapsing, throws down the right sideline, looking for Cooper! What a catch by Amari! Super Cooper with a leaping 30-yard touchdown reception! My goodness! Coleman by himself on the right. Johnson to the left of Allen in the shotgun. Play clock down to two. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Has time. Rolling to his right. Trying to buy time. Heaves it back across the field. Looking for Ty Johnson. And going up and pulling it down off the roof was Keon Coleman for the touchdown.
The call's there with Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Josh Allen, I mean, you could say a bazillion things about how he's playing this season, the command that he's taken with the Bills, the fact that they've had franchise record in points and touchdowns this year. That also speaks to the prowess of a quarterback who is matured and who is in full command, right, of all the tools and all the weapons that he's got around him. Another couple touchdowns through the air, another one on the ground. His passer rating, I mean, it wasn't Mitch Trubisky who had a perfect passer rating in his one pass and one touchdown. How about that? But it was typical Josh Allen. It was what we've seen from him a lot this season. Funny enough, the yards weren't there, really. They didn't need to be because the Jets, well, they just kept giving the ball back to the Bills like a hot potato. You take it. No, you take it. No, here, you take it. So three turnovers by the Jets, four sacks of Aaron Rodgers. He did not look good, ended up getting replaced. I actually heard one, I think it was NFL Network, one analyst say he got benched. I was like, do you bench Aaron Rodgers? just an interesting term that you wouldn't really hear about a Hall of Fame quarterback very often. But this was a bloodbath. It really was. The Jets were awful. But this is about the Bills. It's about the way that they were perfect at home this season. It's about them winning, 10 of their last 11. It's about them being one of the best teams in the league and not wanting this window to close. And yet it's not the same team. That's the part that's amazing, is you're talking about 6 of 8 captains from last year's squad elsewhere in the NFL. The way that they have been able to take the baton, so to speak, some of these young guys, and keep moving forward speaks to coaching, of course, and also speaks to the leadership in the locker room. And yes, that is about Josh Allen. It's the numbers too, but it's the eye test, and Sean McDermott knows it well.
Josh Allen's the MVP. I've been around this league long enough to know, to see MVPs every year for many years, and what he has done on this team, in this organization, in this community, and no offense to anybody else, but I've got a hard time believing that someone's done more. I really believe that.
Still, that's tough. Ryan, if you were casting a vote right now, would it be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, someone else?
If the Ravens get the top spot in the AFC North and still finishes with more touchdowns, more yards, I got to give it to Lamar. Though I do think the voters will vote for Josh Allen.
How come?
Because the fatigue on Lamar, he won 2 already, and Josh Allen has none. That's why I think he'll get it, but I think Lamar still deserves it.
Huh. Well, that would be wrong, considering that you're supposed to be voting on this one season in a vacuum, if you will. I think, too, with... And I don't know if this will happen, but I do wonder that a lot of times when you've got guys on the same team that are both worthy of MVP, you may get this idea that, hey, Lamar was helped out a lot by Derrick Henry, and think about the tandem that they were. I'm not saying that Lamar isn't terrific. He obviously was the MVP last season without Derrick Henry, but Henry's certainly taken a ton of the pressure off and himself will be an outlier for MVP. So I wonder if that maybe in a razor thin type of margin between these two guys. Well, and Saquon too, where it's this tight, something like that could end up making it, you know, more about Josh Allen or leaning toward Josh Allen. Would you put Saquon as a distant third? Where would you throw Saquon into the mix?
I have no idea, because I'd say he's a distant third as of now, just because if he doesn't play and doesn't get the record, he's not even in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does get it, I don't think that you're going to turn around from two quarterbacks who have over 4,500 yards just each, over 40 touchdowns each, and their team, they less than, what is it, 7 picks they both have less than?
Mm.
So you're not going to turn that down. So I think Saquon, unless he breaks the record, he's not even a question mark in there.
Why don't we put up a poll, if you want to, from our show account? Well, whether or not you want to, Ryan, please put up a poll. But I hope that you want to. At Amy After Hours, I'll throw it up on Facebook as well. Who is your NFL MVP? So this is obviously your opinion. We can put Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, who just became the 9th ever. The 9th ever! It's crazy that in a season in which he rushed for 2,000 plus yards and could. Now here's the thing. You can't cast your vote yet. Well, we can. The actual voters can't. Because if he goes and sets the NFL single-season rushing record, does that change your mind? I mean, Ryan, you can answer that question. Does it change your mind?
Very little.
Hmm.
Not that much.
Okay. So let's put up the poll. Who is your NFL MVP? Is it Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley? And then our fourth option can be other. Really interested to see what it is that you have to say. And if you want, Rye, you can extend that for a couple of days, like do a couple of day poll, and we'll just keep sharing it since people are in and out and often on social media. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. So again, thinking about the Bills and the transition, a lot of people have pointed to the defense, especially coming along much quicker than what was anticipated. Sean McDermott gets a lot of credit for that, his coaching staff. And here they are, despite all that change, they have won a franchise record 13 games this year.
It speaks to the staff that we've got here, the guys that we've got in this locker room, how this team's put together, the culture that we have. we didn't really pay attention to the preseason notions, but we heard them and we saw them, and we knew what people were saying, but it had no effect on us. We just came in the training camp and tried to work as hard as we could. And
it all starts with Josh's leadership. When Josh comes in and he's set on what he wants to get done, he's hard to stop. And so he came in, you know, in the spring and then again in training camp when he reported back, and it was, you could tell he had a goal in mind, and he's led this team right from the jump.
He definitely has done that, and he's had some record-setting performances this season. Where he stands right now, with still a game to go, I wonder, again, if we'll see Josh Allen, like the question about Saquon Barkley in Week 18, with these two teams not having... Well, the Eagles are still a long shot for the one seed in the NFC, but it's not a lot that they can control. It's more about what happens in the North. But for the Bills, they cannot improve their standing. So he's sitting at 3,700 yards, which is top 10 in the NFL. Right now, actually, now this is passing touchdowns. He's at 28 passing touchdowns. He's only got 6 interceptions this season. Though if you're looking, you throw in the rushing yardage as well, or rushing yardage / rushing touchdowns. I mean, that puts him well over the top. I mean, think about the Rams game in which he had 3 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, right? It's just been unbelievable to watch him operate this season. So total rushing touchdowns is a dozen. And then with the passing TDs, now we're sitting at 40 total. Lamar Jackson, same thing. I mean, what we've seen from Lamar becoming the NFL's all-time leader as a rushing quarterback, I don't know how you delineate. The only thing I can think of, as Ryan was pointing out, we don't yet know if the Ravens will end up as the top team in the AFC North, right? If they win the North Division or if the Steelers do, that's still something that's hanging in the balance. They're not going to be higher than the 2 seed of the Bills. Maybe you're splitting hairs about Lamar and the help he's got when you consider that Josh has had a bunch of newer guys around him. Now, Amari Cooper came in middle of the season, and he's been a great addition to that roster. And the way that Josh and he have connected pretty quickly is impressive. But Keon Coleman, I mean, that was who they started out with as their top receiver. James Cook, I mean, he's been awesome, especially in the second half of the season. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins. You're not talking about perennial Pro Bowlers. You're not talking about some of the best weapons in the NFL. I mean, Amari Cooper has been a top flight receiver, but it's, yeah, not even a full season with Josh Allen. So honestly, he might get the nod more in that respect. Though, same thing for Lamar in terms of receivers, right? There's been a bit of a revolving door there. The Deontay Johnson didn't work out, but Mark Andrews has been awesome. We know he's a Pro Bowler perennial, if not all pro, even though he missed, well, not missed, but even though he didn't catch a touchdown in the first 5 games. And then how about Derrick Henry, who's going to end up as a Hall of Famer? So, yeah, it's hard to determine, but we've got the poll up. Do we have it up? Or are we putting it up? You tell me, Ryan. It's up. Okay. Ryan can multitask. He's terrific at that. So on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, and I, by the way, I love your dog photos that you're sending me in response to the news about Flower. Who is your NFL MVP? So not, who do you think the voters will choose? But who is your NFL MVP? Retweeting it now. Gosh. Well, so Ryan said Josh. I mean, I maybe will vote for Saquon just because what he's doing is extraordinary. It's hard, though, because there's so many different ways you can define most valuable, which is where this comes into play. So take that poll. I'll put it up on Facebook as well. Just real quickly for the Jets. Oh, Sam Darnold's former team. For the Jets, it's miserable. Maybe there is truth to the rumors, the reports that a couple of things with Garrett Wilson, that he will want a trade if Aaron Rodgers is brought back as quarterback. Another reporter / rumor speculation out there, it's hard to know sometimes what to believe. Not everything is truth that you see online, but that he is telling players like T. Higgins, don't come to the Jets. You know, you don't want to be here, type of a thing. And then what do the Jets do about Rodgers? I can't imagine they bring him back. To me, that would be a major long shot. But what we do know is that this team had very high expectations. They have underperformed in an overwhelming way. Follow that, if you will. And you've got guys post-game after this debacle against the Bills, who the only word they can come up with is embarrassing, right? So that's what we got from Sauce Gardner.
Embarrassing, I don't even know if that's the word. Because what was the score the first time we played them?
First time it was 23-20.
Exactly. You telling me now it's 40 to nothing. Like, if you ask me, that means, like, it's the end of the season. Obviously, we're not going to playoffs. Some people might be checked out.
I mean, that's tough. But I just don't think that's the majority of the guys in a locker room, especially end of the season, where you know you could end up losing your job. You may not have a contract moving forward. I mean, it's a mess. They fired Robert Saleh, clearly not his fault. And they've got a lot of fixing to do. Not just quarterback, but what about head coach, right? What direction? Who can you bring in that can have an instant impact? Well, it's not Bill Belichick, though. He reportedly reached out to the Jets. There's a lot of impressive coordinator candidates, but I kind of feel like they should bring in someone who's got experience. I mean, Robert Saleh was learning on the job. He made some mistakes, no doubt. But the quarterback situation has been a major issue for them now for years. And it's hard not to think about what if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt four plays into last season. I feel like I can comfortably say that changed everything. Because in large part, the injury is what's limited him this season. He's not the same guy. Now, age, definitely. And you know what? There's maybe a possibility that even if he does play all of last season, his skills have declined so much that he's not the quarterback that he was in his prime. I mean, that's not any kind of crazy revelation. That's just Father Time. There are very few that are able to withstand the onslaught of age and what it does to your skills and your abilities. But we'll never know, right? And that's the question that will haunt the Jets, I think, forever. And maybe Aaron Rodgers, too. At A-Law Radio, you can take our poll. Who is your NFL MVP? I'm going to throw it up on Facebook right away. Coming up, maybe not an MVP, but as we're talking about rookie QBs like Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix, how about a nod to the rookie tight end Blake Bowers? Maybe the only bright spot for the Raiders this season. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're waking up on your Monday, okay, good morning. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and 10 for the Raiders on their own 49, an even 3 minutes left on the clock. Brock Bowers had four catches for 38 yards in the first half. He has been held without one here in the second half. He's lined up in the slot to the right as the Raiders empty the backfield with four on the play clock. Snap to O'Connell. Saints bring a blitz. He's looking over the middle. It's caught across the 40 and a first down for the Raiders. It is the rookie Brock Bowers. And earlier in the game, he broke a 63-year-old record. And on that catch, he broke a one-year-old record. The most catches ever by a rookie in the NFL in his first season. Bowers with his 106th grab of the year goes for a first down. Third down and five with Bowers and Myers both to the right. They've been the go-tos today. Snap, O'Connell's looking, he's looking, he's scanning, he's throwing, he's got Bowers at the 20. First down, he bounces off a tackle, and he's brought down between the hash marks at the 22. Cameron Jordan was back in coverage, and that is seven catches, one more catch, one more record for Brock Bowers. That right there is the Raiders' single-season receiving record, his 108th grab on the season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's a mouthful for Jason Horowitz on Raiders Radio. And I know this is a lost season for Vegas, though they did come up with a handy win against the Saints on Sunday. Aiden O'Connell, a couple of touchdown passes. You wonder how long we'll be talking about him. We'll be talking about Brock Bowers, the terrific tight end out of Georgia, with all of his skills, the way that he has shined brightly in this season for the Raiders that has been such a mess. He breaks two rookie NFL records, including one held by, are you ready, Mike Ditka. 1961, Ditka set the mark. 1,067 yards receiving. That was the number, and so he's over that. And then Puka Nacua, just a season ago, had 105 catches by a rookie. That was a record for any position. And so Bowers eclipses that one, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love the way he handles himself on the field, but also off the field. He's not a guy that is, I would say, putting himself in the center of the conversation, whereas he's demanding the ball. He's talking about not getting enough targets. I need to be doing this. I need to be catching that. Nah, he's just naturally talented. And that's me. You know, that means that he's a weapon, right? He's a guy that they're going to be looking for, not to mention his size too. And so all the tools, the intangibles as well. I don't know if he ends up playing the majority of his career in Vegas. They've got to get their stuff together, but he's been awesome to watch.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's always been like a childhood goal to play in the NFL, obviously, and then to come in here and, I mean, be able to catch as many balls as I did and get as many yards as I did. I mean, it's pretty shocking to me, I guess. It's pretty cool.
There was a conversation that we had with our Raiders insider, Hondo Carpenter, going back maybe 6 weeks ago or so. All the stuff about quarterback there, Devontae Adams being traded earlier this season. And he was saying that they didn't feel like in their war room last offseason that they could grab one of the top quarterbacks. Right? They felt like they were just on the outside in terms of the draft class and what would still be available at their position. They didn't want to force a QB, so instead they were looking for a stopgap in Gardner Minshew. Obviously, that didn't work out. They wanted to go back to Aiden O'Connell. He gets hurt. They have to bring in, remind me who they brought in.
Ritter.
Yes, thank you. Desmond Ritter. It's on the tip of my tongue. A lot of quarterbacks changing teams and changing places. And so they've just managed it all wrong, but also just haven't been in the right position to achieve what they needed at quarterback. And so they've made some poor decisions, but it's also been kind of a weird space for them. I don't believe in karma, but if I did, I would say be careful how you treat players who've been around for a long time. Derek Carr was the longest tenured Raider at the point at which Josh McDaniels decided he was done. Oh, look how long that lasted for Josh. Could have told you that was coming. He's got a history. So Derek Carr, I mean, he ends up landing on his feet, but they treated him poorly and haven't found a quarterback since. And really, quarterback issues, not the only problem for them, but a huge piece for them. Heard an interview with Max Crosby going back a couple of weeks ago. Well, I think it was part of Let's Go with Jim Gray on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And he was just talking about how frustrating it is not just being injured, but also the losing and how it weighs on you. And so you think about the Giants, who just ended a 10-game losing skid. You think about teams like the Panthers, who have been spinning their wheels for a couple of seasons now, and it feels like all they're doing is changing stuff, right? It's a hamster wheel. What is that urban definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and believing that you'll achieve different results or that the end result will be different? Yeah, that's been the Panthers. Think about how much it matters to them and to Dave Canales and to Bryce Young that they were able, Adam Thielen, who's a veteran, that they were able to get a couple of wins toward the end of the season. So yeah, never try to lessen the value on a win, regardless of where the team is in the standings, if they're in the basement, if they're closer to the number one overall draft pick. But that's kind of the funny part in all of this. Maybe there are some fans that would tell you it's better to lose out and get your QB. And here are the Raiders who still need a QB. I don't know that they're going to end up using Aiden O'Connell moving forward, unless, of course, they don't draft one, the one that they want or they feel like fits. Check the current draft order. We know the Giants hurt themselves. I'm being tongue-in-cheek. The Giants ended a franchise record losing skid. That's nothing but positive. But because of that, the Patriots have leapfrogged them and are now at that number one spot overall. So how about that? They would draft three last year coming out of the big Belichick era, coming out of the 20 years of that. They moved to Gerard Mayo. He's still learning how to be a head coach. And I think it's kind of rough around the edges, but they've got potentially the number one pick. They play the Bills in week 18, which the Bills may don't have a ton to play for in terms of their position, but do they want to end on a losing note for the regular season? So right now, it's the Patriots 1, it's the Titans 2. Both those teams are at 3-13. The Browns are also at 3-13. They move up one spot, so right now they'd be picking number 3. Meanwhile, the Giants tumble to 4 in the current draft order. The Jaguars, they tumble to 5. The Panthers are up to 6. The Jets, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? The Jets are at 7. The Raiders have moved down to 8. So that doesn't put you in position to get your next franchise QB. That's the part that's hard. But I'm telling you, the current players don't give a crap about who ends up getting drafted in April or May. Bears are at number 9. Saints are at number 10. So that's where it is right now, though it could change with week 18. But yeah, I wonder how many Giants fans are furious or Raiders fans are furious with this last weekend because their team won't end up drafting number 1 or maybe even in the top 3. So we'll see. But still a lot to come. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, glad to have you. We got a poll up. Who is your NFL MVP at this point with 1 week to go? I do think it could change mightily if Saquon Barkley ends up with the single-season rushing record and passes Eric Dickerson in that category, but that remains to be seen. I can't believe it's Monday morning, December 30th. How did this happen? How did we get to December 30th? Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're enjoying the holidays. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Burrow catches the shotgun snap, looking, floating it toward the end zone, and Higgins from the back right corner. Yeah. T. Higgins has it for the Bengals touchdown. What a throw from Joe Burrow. Perfect trajectory and precision into the hands of T. Higgins at the back right pylon.
Bengals rush 4. Next deep drop. Now rolls to his right. Throws the ball. He wants Mims in the corner of the end zone. Marvin goes up. Makes the catch. That's a Denver touchdown.
The Bengals trying to win it from the 3-yard line of Denver. Burrow looking to throw his pass. It is by T. Higgins. Yeah. Touchdown.
Over. It's over.
Bengals. And the final playoff spot in the AFC will not be decided until the final week of the regular season. The Cincinnati Bengals are still alive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is amazing how Joe Burrow manages to raise the level of play of all the guys around him. And I know he and Ja'Marr Chase have an established relationship, and you can see that play out on the field. Pound for pound, people would say Chase is the better receiver than T. Higgins. And yet with Burrow and with the top flight quarterbacks, these guys become world beaters as well. And so T. Higgins, the focus in large part, a lot of times you need a number 2 receiver, a number 3 receiver who can pick up the slack when you've got tough matchups between, say, a Pro Bowl or all pro cornerback, a great secondary who's limiting, in this case, what Ja'Marr Chase could do. And so T. Higgins is the focus. And that touchdown pass with a minute left in overtime allows the Bengals to keep their very slim playoff hopes on life support. But it also keeps the Broncos at bay. And so what we're staring at right now, three teams, three teams, one at 9-7, that's Denver, then the Bengals and the Dolphins at 8-8, who are gunning for that final wild card spot in the AFC. The call's there with Dave Logan on Broncos Radio, and then also Dan Horden, Dave Lapham on Bengals Radio, and they are our favorites. So there's a lot still that can play out in Week 18. We've got the week to talk about it, and I won't be with you every night this week, but I will be with you on Monday night into Tuesday, and then also following the big New Year's Day college football action. Be back with you on New Year's night to kick off 2025. What? 855-212-4227, always our number. Also on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, brand new poll up there. Ryan put it up on Twix at Amy After Hours, but who is your NFL MVP with the 1 week to go? And I'll just be honest, I voted for Saquon. I know Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have been phenomenal. I'm not even sure how you determine which one of them is more valuable, though Lamar does have Derrick Henry with him. And so to me, if you're splitting hairs, that would point toward Josh. But if Saquon Barkley goes over 2,000 yards in the final weekend, he's over 2,000. If he goes over Eric Dickerson's 2,105 in the final week, I don't know how you don't pick him as MVP. To me, it'd be crazy to leave him out. A record, and regardless of how long it stood, just a record that's so, so hard to achieve because of the pounding that running backs take. And because, let's be honest, in the past 10 years, it's become more of a pass happy league. And yet here we are kind of these last two seasons leaning more toward running backs after all of their frustration over being devalued, right? And now Saquon Barkley could end up owning the single season rushing record. Only 9 guys have ever gone over 2,000 yards. How does he not become the NFL MVP? And this is a regular season award. I would hope the voters are waiting until week 18 is done to cast their final ballots. Again, at Amy After Hours and now on our Facebook page. For Joe Burrow, he's definitely putting up MVP type numbers, if not for the fact that the defense has been so bad. But what a wild game going back and forth with the Denver Broncos. We see really the skill set there that made them the number one overall pick. And I can't wait until the Bengals are a contender again.
I don't know about that. That one was pretty crazy, but this one is one of the crazier ones that I've been a part of in the NFL. That was, feels like we've had a couple of those this year, and it's nice to come out on top.
Yeah, he's always understated. The team is obviously playing for a postseason berth. Maybe it makes them feel like, okay, we've managed to dig ourselves out of the hole, one that they have continually put themselves in, right? They've lost a ton of close games, not to mention the way they started the season. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender because they don't have the defense. Anything can happen. And maybe the Broncos don't either, because right now they're still learning, still building that culture, unable to close it out with multiple opportunities. I mean, Sean Payton likes what they did on the field. Of course, early on, you want to talk about putting yourselves in the hole, not playing great football consistently through the course of 60 minutes or on into overtime. That's the sign or a hallmark of a young team that's still trying to put it together. They've got one or two veterans, and Sean Payton's a Super Bowl winner. But yeah, as a group, they're not quite there yet.
You know, we were on the field a lot in the first half. The time of possession struggled offensively, you know, and then the second half we kind of got going a little bit. But those guys competed their tails off.
Now, elsewhere on Saturday, also in the AFC West, the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh. Talk about a one-season turnaround that fans can really get behind.
Just so proud of the team. All those that made it happen, the players, the coaches. There was so much great play. I mean, our offense, great defense, great.
He sounds tired. Just great. It's just great all around. Not quite the enthusiasm or energy that you'll get from him maybe during the week. But the Chargers lock up a wild card. They have the season high in points against New England. The defense comes up with four sacks. How about Derwin James with a couple of them? And Justin Herbert, three touchdowns in the third quarter. And yeah, to see the resurgence of the offense under Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, how happy. It's a mutual admiration society.
He's been everything. You know, those guys in that locker room respect him so much, and they just want to make right by him and make him proud. You know, the way he cares about, you know, this team, all the individuals as well. He's a competitor, and he wants to win no matter what it is. And it definitely shows, and it's the way that everyone fights for him, wants to play for him, and respects him.
That is high praise coming from a guy who's been in the league for a few years and has seen multiple head coaches. Remember where the Chargers were a year ago with Brandon Staley and how things unfolded and getting Harbaugh and what a change one man can make. It's not as easy as, hey, we're a Super Bowl contender because of Jim Harbaugh. But the respect he brings, obviously the experience in the NFL, winning the national championship at Michigan, instant credibility when you walk into a locker room. And what did he tell us? Justin Herbert, best quarterback in the NFL. Justin Herbert, angels singing when he returns to practice. I mean, he's got indefatigable energy and enthusiasm, and that bleeds into the locker room and certainly sets a tone for the team. So, wowzers, in the AFC, we know Chiefs are the one, Bills are the two. We still need the AFC North champion. The Texans win the South. Colts officially eliminated on Sunday by the Giants. Ouch. It's actually adding insult to injury. And now, as I mentioned, Broncos sitting at 9-7. So if they win in week 18, they've got that last wild card. And the West would be a three-team division. Three playoff teams from the West would be crazy. But the Bengals and the Dolphins are still alive. That's your AFC. The NFC picture taking shape a lot more after Sunday Night Football plus Vikings and Packers Sunday. We'll get back to that coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.